Hey everybody, it's the Loop Mechanics Podcast. Your hosts Bealus and Scormus are here to ramble on for a while about video and tabletop games, or whatever nonsense comes into their twisted little minds. Then, if you are very lucky, they will crawl off back under the rocks from whence they came, only to return again, like clockwork, next week. Seriously, these idiots are more unavoidable than death or taxes, and much less pleasant to endure. Anyway, enjoy the show, if you can.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bealus.
So, what's been going on with you today, sir?
Playing some Tavern Keeper and some of the older games that I haven't gotten around to for a while.
Okay. I have been playing... Oh, geez. I'm sick, so my brain is not wanting to function. Breath of Fire, strangely enough. Because, you know, I mostly play on my Switch, right?
Right.
And if you have Nintendo Switch Online, which, of course, we do, so you have the ability to play online, they give you access to a collection of Nintendo Entertainment System games, Super Nintendo games, and just recently... they added Game Boy and Game Boy Color to that. Now, if you pay for the expansion pack for it, which is way too expensive in my opinion, but whatever, you also have access to Sega Genesis, Nintendo 64, and, just recently, Game Boy Advance games, which I would really love to be able to play some Game Boy Advance games, but whatever. I can live without it. The important thing is, I've been playing some Breath of Fire on Super Nintendo, and Patsy would love this, our sister, Tetris for the Game Boy. Mm-hmm. Just basic fucking Tetris. You never know how good that game is till you sit down and 4 hours later you're late for going to bed because you've been sitting there just doing puzzle after puzzle after puzzle. And it literally is the basic Game Boy screen, too. You know, same Game Boy color. You know, that green screen color. So, that's been fun. But yeah, Breath of Fire is my thing right now. Which is weird, because I have all these other games that I'm... for the Switch that I'm not playing. I just felt like playing some retro role-playing game. And it was between that... and Final Fantasy. Well, Final Fantasy 3. It was Final Fantasy 1 here in the United States. But I was like, eh, I want to do Breath of Fire. It's different. I haven't played it before. So I've been merrily getting lost out in the wilderness. But yeah, good fun.
Cool.
Anyway, shall we move on?
Of course.
Okay, let's talk about fropping cards. If we must.
Okay, so, Bealus.
Yes?
We have not talked about collectible card games recently.
Okay. No, we have not.
And I thought today would be a good time to do so.
Sure.
And I know when most people think, collectible card games, they think Magic, Pokemon... maybe Yu-Gi-Oh, and that's about it, right? The big three. But, especially back in the early to mid-90s, there was a huge amount of different collectible card games. And it might be shocking to you to learn, but I'm kind of into small, independent games.
No, not you.
Looks over my shoulder at my... wall of role-playing games. Yes. No, I tend to like games that are not the norm, that are, dare I say it, indie. Anyway, unfortunately, most of these games are out of print or have been rebranded, or they're a new company's running something similar. But yeah, I've been looking at my collectible card games. I have my anti-magic box, which is a pre-built decks I had for various collectible card games. My wife and I like to play back in, oh, you know, between 94 and 2000. So, you know, 30 years ago or so.
Right.
Yeah. It's been a while. Anyway, it got me thinking about some of these games and why I'm a little sad that, you know, well, most of these are out of print. Can't get them anymore. And if you can, you're paying out the butt for somebody who just happens to have a bunch of boosters lying around for a game nobody's played in 30 years. And I know some of these will never come back, probably most of them. But I thought it was something we could talk about.
Sure.
Now,
try.
First of all, I know your thoughts on this. Would you like to elucidate the audience?
On which?
How you feel about most collectible card games.
Most collectible card games were, ooh, this is a new thing. Let's jump on the bandwagon with absolutely no thought into what the fuck they were doing. They came out with games or with cards that just, they weren't fun. Yeah, the cards looked cool, but they absolutely missed the whole point of a collectible card game. They missed the whole game part. Yeah, you've got cool cards, and they're collectible, but it's not really a game. I mean, Spellfire, I'm looking at you.
I was just going to say.
You were a massive turd
for
the D&D brand.
Now, Spellfire, which I will admit is one of the games I liked unironically. I didn't like the cards because it was the second collectible card game ever produced. It came out not long after Magic the Gathering from TSR, before Wizards of the Coast bought out TSR, and it's entirely possible that Spellfire was the last nail in the coffin for TSR, or among the last few coffin nails. Do you remember those cards?
Yeah, they were horrible.
I mean, anybody that's played a collectible card game, anybody that's played especially Magic Gathering, you can just imagine the way that card feels in your hand. Most of the cards are playing card quality. You know, they're they've got some stiffness to them, but they do flex. They feel like there's quality there. And I'm not going to say all of them, because Wizards of the Coast has shit the bed with some of their cards in the past, but especially their foils, which will actually peel apart. But they weren't Spellfire. Spellfire felt about half as thick as a Magic the Gathering card. They weren't. They just felt that way. They felt like they were just cheap. Like you said, the artwork was beautiful, and there was some gameplay to it, but it felt like somebody at TSR went, those fuckers over in Seattle, that Wizards of the Coast, they stole our D&D, and they're trying to make a game that's like D&D, but it's a card game. So let's show them up. Let's make a D&D collectible card game. Without thinking, do we know how to make a collectible card game? Because they didn't.
And it showed.
The thing lasted for like 3 years. 3, maybe 4 years. That's it. And
it shouldn't have lasted that long.
I didn't even buy into the expansions, which is too bad because it looks like they covered a lot of stuff. They did Ravenloft, Forgotten Realms, The Underdark, things like that. And, you know, that's great. But, yeah, they could have been so much better than this.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
shitty gameplay is shitty gameplay.
If I remember right, part of this was also Wizards of the Coast fucking TSR. And really, everybody else. Because they had come out of the gate and were just doing so well that they tied up all the best companies making cards with their product. So there was no time to print cards for TSR's game or this person's game or that person's game. And that's why a lot of the early mid-90s, a lot of the collectible card games that came out then felt a little cheaper than Wizards of the Coast's product. And that's not just, not just Magic the Gathering, but also Jihad, which was their Vampire the Masquerade-based game, right? That's not exclusive, but that was a general feel that Wizards of the Coast, especially as the years rolled on, they kind of dominated the quality companies making, doing the printing.
Well, it worked for them.
Yes, it did. Absolutely. It hasn't worked out for them lately. See their foil cards. But you shouldn't have to keep your decks in a room that's got controlled humidity so it doesn't peel apart just because you have a foil card. That's just me. Anyway, I can't find, unfortunately, I can't find my Spellfire cards. They're around here somewhere. I know they are. I just can't find them. Like with role-playing games I don't like, I don't throw things out. I've still got some turds on my shelf, and
literally,
somewhere there are some turds for collectible card games named Spellfire in my cards somewheres, but I've got a big box that's full of cards, just various different types, and I'm not going to dig through that.
So you like shitting in cards and then sticking them in a box?
Apparently. Anyway, so aside from Spellfire, I want to talk a little bit about this game.
Okay.
This is about as indie as it gets. A little game called Wyvern. Fantasy collectible card game. Has a feel very similar, well, kind of similar to Magic the Gathering. I felt Magic the Gathering had more of a, it was very colorful, glossy, shiny, flashy, if you want to call it that. Where Wyvern feels more subdued, classic mythology inspired fantasy. The artwork is definitely along those lines, too. A lot more, you could see it on a tarot deck, that sort of artwork, right? Not so much of a the glossy, super professional artwork you'd find on most Magic the Gathering cards. But I found this, I know you'll disagree probably, but I found this to be an excellent game and in many ways superior to Magic the Gathering. I thought the gameplay was easier to learn. It was in many ways a lot more fun, especially if you weren't trying to be uber competitive. I don't even remember there actually being any tournaments for Wyvern, although there probably were somewhere. And best of all, it was cheap. I don't mean quality-wise. I mean, you could buy decks for Wyvern easily. Whereas in for Magic the Gathering, you'd have that shit sell out at your local game store. So
I can just see a Wyvern tournament. The grand prize is they'll give you your money back for the cards.
Tell me what you think of Wyvern, sir.
The cards were okay, really. I mean, it's just the gameplay wasn't, there wasn't a whole lot of depth to it. I mean, I can understand not having a game that's, you know, very competitive, because, I mean, there weren't a whole lot of builds available. They didn't give you a whole lot of options there, you know? It's not, you couldn't, like, make a poison deck, or this kind of deck, or this kind of deck, or whatever. It was just, I like this Wyvern because it's big and powerful. I like this one because I can get it out quickly. I like this one because of this. But there wasn't a whole lot of real, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of thought put into your deck because there just wasn't a whole lot of variation This one's a 4 power. This one's a 2. It just, come on. If you're going to make a game and you're not going to give a whole lot of variation to the cards, don't make it a 1v1 game.
Well, we did play it multiplayer sometimes.
Yeah, but even then, it's still competitive.
Yeah.
Without a whole lot of variation. So once you found out, or once you acquired the cards that worked best in a deck, everybody would use them. And so everybody's decks are just like everybody else's. And it was the one who got the powerhouse out first that tended to win.
You could say the same thing, though, about most collectible card games, though. When the meta shifts, everybody goes to the meta.
Yes, but with Magic the Gathering, you can play to win so many different ways. You can have your white weenie deck where it's a whole bunch of little tiny 1/1 creatures, but you overflow your opponent with just hordes of small creatures. Or you can do a take and bake type deck where, you know, if you're not preventing them from casting the creature, you're taking their creature away from them, or you're just smoking it on the spot with a lightning bolt.
Yeah.
Or you've got a land destruction, or you've got a card destruction, or a deck destruction, or, you know, a vampire control deck, or an angel deck, or, you know, all these other different kind of decks. And so the way you play is completely different from deck to deck to deck. Whereas Wyvern, it was just, ah, damn, I got the big bad out first. Or you got it out first, I mean. And they pretty much won because you can't do shit about it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, it just felt like a good, fun game. I still have good feelings about it. But that's just me, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I had hopes for games like the Werewolf game.
Rage?
I really thought that was going to be a good game, but they put it out there and then just did jack with it. Because, I mean, at the time, Jihad was just, it was selling like crazy.
Yes, it was.
And so they bring out Rage and they do fuck all with it.
Sure, but here's the difference, though. Rage was put out by White Wolf Game Studios directly. They did it themselves. Jihad was put out by Wizards of the Coast. It was the third tabletop role-playing game to come out. And it had that quality. It had that developers who knew what they were doing in making a card game, and I believe Rage was much in the same way that Spellfire was. Hey, if they can make a game, we can make one too. They're making money off of us because we signed a damn contract. Let's make one ourselves. Everybody likes Werewolf. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've got a Rage deck in my anti-magic deck, and I've got some other cards for it. But let's see. I've got 3 Jihad decks in here and only 1 Rage deck. And my wife was collecting every single Jihad card. She loved the game that much. She loved it more than Magic the Gathering. And we loved that game. So, yeah. Even just comparing the cards, I was taking some of my Jihad cards out, and they literally feel like real cards. Maybe a little thinner than your classic Magic the Gathering card, but not much, right? Rage cards are not as bad as Spellfire, but they don't feel like a Magic the Gathering card. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But then there is another game. And when I have these 3 decks in here for it, because it is technically a collectible card game, although I wouldn't call it an indie card game, and I would not call it cheap. Illuminati New World Order. Put out by Steve Jackson Games. Yes, the guys behind GURPS. They used to have a card game called Illuminati. And it was fun. And when the whole collectible card game thing started up, they went, we're going to jump on board that, but we're going to take our card game, which is already proven and awesome, and our ability to, they already have the know-how to make a good card game and just tweak it so it could be a collectible card game. And it's fun. It is really fun. It's not as fun as the original Illuminati, and that was the problem. That's why it didn't sell as well. And eventually they put out a 450 card set called Illuminati New World Order, the one with everything. It has literally one of every card in the set. Yes, I have that. Anyway, the quality of these cards, though, I don't know where they found printers that make this this good. They're thicker and higher quality than Magic the Gathering or Pokemon cards. They feel like a quality card you'd get in a really high-end board game, right? So those are just damn impressive. Did you ever have a chance to play that game?
Nope. Didn't try it.
We really should, like, bring these over sometime and try it out, because it's good fun. I built three decks based off of different secret societies. So I have an Adepts of Hermes deck, I have a Discordian Society deck, and I have a Cthulhu deck. So, yeah. I basically, the whole point was I wanted to make three decks so that we could bring them out. Nobody else had to have cards. Just everybody grab a deck and let's play. It was the only way I was ever going to get to play Illuminati. I think it worked once. But finally, speaking of card games that I never get to fucking play, but I absolutely adore, Chaosium put out this great little game called Mythos, kind of based on Call of Cthulhu. This is a good fucking card game. I do not know why it failed, but yeah, no, it did not succeed. And that is unfortunate, because this is one damn good game. Let me see if I can find its Wikipedia. Yeah, it came out in 96. I'm going to see how long it actually lasted. Huh, like 2 years. That's sad. I know the game is different, especially if you play other collectible card games. Most games try to emulate Magic the Gathering or Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
Mythos does its own damn thing, and it feels very Call of Cthulhu. So I can see why maybe people didn't really gravitate to it, but it's too bad, because this is a fun game. Then again, they did go out and put out a Call of Cthulhu collectible card game, and but I don't think that's... Oh, I guess it was a collectible card game. Oh, yeah, and it had various Asylum packs and Deluxe packs, and actually had even tournaments through the mid to late 2000s. So... Yay!
Yeah.
I mean, that's cool. You have thoughts on that? I know you're a Call of Cthulhu fan.
Yeah, but not for the card game. I found the card game kind of boring.
That was a big word I heard, too. That's the problem. I think it was trying
too
hard. I
understood what they were trying to get to.
Yeah.
But they just didn't... The way they went about it just kind of sucked.
Yeah. It didn't Spellfire suck.
No.
But it just wasn't quite catchy
enough.
Ready
for personal consumption?
Yeah. Then again, back then, Call of Cthulhu wasn't exactly, you know, catching the world on fire either. It was a very much a niche role-playing game, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So now it's like the second or third most popular role-playing game in the world. A large part of that due to Japan loving the hell out of Call of Cthulhu, but that's neither here nor there. Now, while I love Mythos, I'm not going to, even if it came back out, I probably wouldn't buy new cards for this. Because I have Arkham Horror, the card game. I don't think Call of Cthulhu-style gaming works in a competitive sense, in any way. It has to be a cooperative game. And Arkham Horror, the card game, is exactly that. So, while Mythos had its place, and I like it, it's definitely not one that needs to come back. Nor does the Call of Cthulhu card game need to come back. We've got Arkham Horror. That's enough. Oh, shit. I forgot to talk about this one. There was one more card deck or game I wanted to talk about briefly. A truly an independent game. Although it's a IP would make it think otherwise. Star Trek The Next Generation customizable card game. You'd think that has got to be high quality, big, important, especially since this game came out while the show was still fresh on the air, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be good. You ever hear of Decipher Incorporated?
No.
Me either. But they're the ones who put it out. And boy, it is a... Well, it's a card game. The cards feel like cards. The artwork is, well, screenshots from the television series. So, awesome, right? Otherwise, it's basically, well... To say that it's based a lot off of Magic the Gathering would be, putting it mildly,
mm-hmm.
You don't have lands, but basically you've got a dilemma to resolve. You've got events, you've got ships, and you've got crew to help you deal with it with some equipment that you can get that might assist you with these things. Yep, it's definitely a Star Trek game, and it feels Star Trek. That's the one really good thing about it. I kind of lost my love for it. Well, not for a while. I still like it, but I kind of really got burned out for it. You remember Amway? I guess it's still around, right? The multi-level marketing company?
I have no idea.
Amway's a scam. Big scam, right? They sell all kinds of different products, but the whole point is to try and get you to sell Amway. And then you give a portion of your profits, if you have any, to the guy who recruited you, and he sells or just collects money from people he's recruited. And then he gives a portion of that to the person who recruited him, and it all goes up this weird triangle-shaped kind of platform up to the very top. I don't know. It's like a triangle thing.
Are you thinking of the word pyramid?
Yeah, it's kind of like a pyramid. Almost like a pyramid plan. Yes.
Pyramid scheme?
Yeah, that sounds great. Let's call it a pyramid scheme. Allegedly. Anyway, so how did Amway ruin my love for Star Trek, the customizable card game? Okay, so I worked at a nursing home back when I was getting this game. This is years and years ago. Anyway... One of my coworkers, he also liked the game, and he came over to play it with me one day. So we had been playing, having a decent time, and he starts talking about Amway. Because he didn't really come over to play card games, do any flopping with us. Oh no! He came over to recruit us to sell Amway. By the end of the evening, I almost had to grab him by the scruff of the shirt and carry him out of my apartment and say, don't come back. Bye now. Almost. But he wouldn't leave until we signed up with him. He just wouldn't go. So, yeah, I haven't played a game of it since. Which is too bad because it really does feel like Star Trek. That is definitely out of print now. Oh, yeah. Anyway, would you play a Star Trek game?
No.
Not even Next Generation?
No. The shows are okay, but I'm not a huge Star Trek fan. Just like I'm not a huge Star Wars fan. I mean, they're both okay. Do I go to the conventions? Do I do the cosplay? Do I own a whole bunch of Star Trek or Star Wars product? Not really. I'm there fine, I guess.
Let's see if I can fit this on this shelf. Hey! There, it's out of my way. Cool! So, shall we move on then?
Sure.
Oh, now my hands are all dusty.
Are we done with this shit yet?
Okay, that's about it for this week. Do you have any other final thoughts before we go, sir?
No, I'm looking forward to looking into my Steam library and pulling out a oldie but goodie.
Nice. That's cool. I'm hoping to get some solo role-playing done later tonight, but yeah, we'll see. I feel like crap, man. I may just spend
drink
a second
water,
weekend.
Get some sleep.
Yeah, I may just, you know, spend another weekend in my recliner. Ugh. At least I haven't been coughing my head off while we're recording, so there's that. Anyway, before we go, I wanted to talk briefly about a Kickstarter that I am not backing.
Okay.
Yes, it's true. I don't back every tabletop role-playing game that hits Kickstarter, despite sure. thoughts. Yeah, I know. Anyway, so this game, by the time you hear about this, has already succeeded. As we're recording, it's got 3 days left. So by the time you hear about it, it's been done for like 10 days, right? That's okay. If you're into tabletop role-playing games, you've already heard about this game, most likely, because they've been advertising it everywhere. Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, your grandma's backside, everywhere. I can't get away from it, and that's part of why I didn't buy into it. It's a little game called Shadow Dark. Have you heard about Shadow Dark, sir?
Nope.
Well, you're one of the...
I haven't seen anything of it.
You're one of the lucky few.
So
a coworker.
What is it?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying, what is it?
Well, it's a tabletop role-playing game. But more than that, I'll use their own words. What is Shadow Dark RPG? In Shadow Dark, you and your group of crawlers use magic, steel, and wits to delve into mysterious ruins, lost cities, and monster-infested depths. Wondrous treasures and long-forgotten secrets await you. But don't let your last torch burn out, or you could be swallowed by the Shadow Dark. So, they further go on to describe themselves as being great for 5e players, what they've been waiting for, an intuitive and complete tabletop role-playing game that serves as a seamless bridge into the heart of the old-school Renaissance. And for old-school gamers, they'll find a system that is familiar and nostalgic, but with major quality-of-life upgrades that modernize the old-school experience. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing. The reason this came up is I was getting irritated because everywhere I turned around on social media and on YouTube, I kept seeing things about Shadow Dark. All these different YouTubers talking about Shadow Dark. Ads on Facebook and Instagram and, you know, your grandma's backside everywhere, right? And I'm like, I went to their Kickstarter and went, hard pass. Because I've got old school revival games. And I've got new, modern fantasy role-playing games. And I've got ones that bridge the gap. But here's what they hang their hat on, right? The main thing, torches only last an hour of real time.
Okay.
That is a hard rule in the game. So basically, if your players are screwing around and they waste 45 minutes, they're going to want to know, well, why'd my torch only last 15 minutes in game? Because you guys were fucking around. You lit your torch at 4 p.m. out in real time at 5 p.m. Your torch gutters out. Oh, man. Yeah, they got to, it pushes the narrative along. Okay, I get that. You know what we call that in the real world, sir? A house rule.
Uh-huh.
Why is that something to hang your hat on? But wait, here's some more things that they think are innovative and new. They use four core classes, fighter, priest, thief, and wizard. New, innovative. They use a D20-based roll high system. Super new and innovative. Here is something you don't see every day. No dark vision. So if you get stuck in total darkness with no torches, you're in trouble. I'll give them that.
Well, the way I see it is if you've got a system of magic which allows you to do amazing and wondrous things, and light was such a critical part of exploration, don't you think somebody would have come up with a light spell making torches absolutely useless?
Yeah. Anyway, Treasure grants experience points, and tracking it is dead simple. You know who else did that? The original editions of Dungeons and Dragons. That is standard in old school revival games. Oh, but wait. You have to roll to cast spells. Really? Where have I seen that before? Oh, in like a good third of old school revival games. Just saying. Simple distances. Close, near, and far. You mean like in Eldritch Hack and a bunch of other games? Monsters have morale and have to make reaction rolls.
That's another house rule.
That's also in early D&D. If a certain amount of creatures die in their pack, they will have to roll or run away. Always on initiative. Time is easy to track. Okay. Sure. It uses the 6 classic stats. 3D and rolled 3d6 in order. Yeah, you mean like almost every old school revival game? There's no skills, just ability checks and with advantage or disadvantage. 5th edition. They use separate ancestries and classes, which started with 1st edition AD&D. Randomized character class abilities. Emergent character growth. Oh, where's that happy little book on my shelf? There it is, Dungeon Crawl Classics. Low hit points, fast and deadly. And somewhere's back in the distance, we hear all the old school revival players screaming, "It's been done before!" And simple encumbrance. They use gear slots. Okay, yeah, a bunch of games do that. It seems to me they made a very pretty game with some interesting artwork and whatnot, right? I like it. It looks pretty. But at the same time, all they did was cherry pick ideas from a bunch of other games and try to say, we're new and innovative. And it bothers me. There's so many of these YouTube tabletop role-playing guys that are all on board with this game. And everything I see is, okay, it's all been done before. Through the vast majority of it. What the actual fuck is going on here? It seems just a little bit suspicious to me. You have any thoughts?
I understand they're trying to sell their product, but come on. All it takes is a small Google search, and you'll see all these other things have been done before, and in a lot of cases, probably done better. Why? Because, well, they had a lot of years and a lot of people, you know, going over that particular method and helped them fine-tune it. So what are they going to do now? The next thing they come out with is, ooh, when you start out, your armor class is 10, and going down is a good thing. Having a low, you know, like 0 armor class is amazing.
Yeah. To me, it feels like they basically, for all intents and purposes, grabbed 3 games off the shelf and went, we want to make a game that's kind of a conglomeration of these. I could be wrong. I wasn't in their development room. I wasn't writing the game. But it feels like they took a lot of the gritty, grimdark from Shadow of the Demon Lord and similar games. They grabbed the old school revival awesomeness from Dungeon Crawl Classics, or maybe old school essentials, but I'm thinking more DCC. And for that 5e flair, they grabbed them some 5 Torches Deep and rebranded that bitch with a big advertising budget. Now, I'm not going to say I lost some respect for some of these YouTubers by how they're fawning all over this game, because maybe they really do love it as much as they say. Maybe. I don't know. But the damn thing raised over $1 million in a month while offering nearly nothing that's new. And I just don't get it. You haven't even seen the game. Oh, you've seen the quick start for it. Woo! I'm sorry. I'm looking at Worlds Without Number, and it does it better. Same thing, but it does it better. And it's already there. You can have that right now without having to wait God knows how long. Maybe this is why I'm not backing stuff on Kickstarter anymore. I have really stepped back from that stuff. I know, shocking, right? But...
Well, how many times have you gotten screwed over?
Once. We're looking on maybe towards twice, but we're not sure about that one. And one of them wasn't even Kickstarter, it was GameFound. But that's neither here nor there. That guy can fuck off. He got my $54, apparently. He's ran off into the wind. Then again, Star Citizen ripped off $60 from me. So, 54. It's not even, it's 90% of that, right? Not that big a deal. Okay, it's the principle of the thing, right? Anyway, I'll stop ranting now. But if you're into Shadow Dark, you missed the boat. Too bad, sorry. But I'm sure at some point they'll be selling it for real. Maybe, hopefully. Hopefully the people that put $1 million towards this thing, over 10,000 backers, hopefully they actually get their product. I will assume that the people behind this game will actually deliver on time and everything will be great. Kind of hard to assume that anymore, but I will give them the benefit of the doubt. How's that, right?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'll continue to play Shadow of the Demon Lord, Dungeon Crawl Classics, and... I don't have five torches deep, so we'll just make it old school essentials instead. Yay! Right? You know, known good games that don't basically snag ideas from other companies and say they're innovative.
Well, I don't have a problem with them, you know, using ideas from other games. But don't claim it to be, you know, ooh, this cool new thing that you're doing. Because you're already saying it's an old school revival type game modernized.
Uh-huh.
That right there is an oxymoron. It's old school, but it's updated, new.
Right. The whole point, the old school revival people or old school renaissance, they like those old school games, right? They don't want new modern stuff. If they wanted to play 5e, they'd be playing 5e.
Right.
They're playing Dungeon Crawl Classics and Shadow of the Demon Lord and Warhammer and Old School Essentials and all that. Worlds Without Number. They're playing those because they're old school. Not they want to feel like it's old school, but it really isn't.
Right.
And there have been games that have already tried that. I mentioned Five Torches Deep. They kind of try to bridge that gap. There's a few games that already do. And some work. And some, well, not as well. They don't. Point is, it's all well and good to try and do that. Great. That's admirable. But it's not new and innovative. You're not. And it's just, whatever. They're doing their thing, fine. It's giving me a headache just thinking about it. I read over their Kickstarter like 3 times, trying to see why people love this thing so much. Trying to see where the excitement is coming from. I don't get it. But maybe I'm just an old grognard who can't figure it out. Anyway, until next time, I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bayless.
Generic catchphrase ending?
Well, look at that. You made it through an entire episode. Good for you. Now, here's your prize. Ads. Please drop by whatever service you heard this abomination of a podcast on, and give the show a great review. You can also come by our website scormy.com, check out our blogs, podcasts, and other content, and leave some comments. Finally, join our Discord server. You can listen to us record Loot Mechanics live and chat with other fans. You'll find the link on the website. Until next time, I'm the digital voiceover guy telling you to kindly fuck off.